The Bible reading tonight is found in the first book of Chronicles and the chapter 21. And I want to speak tonight upon the subject, how the plague was stopped. How the plague was stopped. First Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 1. And Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel. And David said to Joab, and to the rulers of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba even to Dan, and bring the number of them to me, that I may know it. And Joab answered, the Lord make his people 100 times so many more as they be. But my lord the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then doth my lord require this thing? Will he be a cause of trespass to Israel? Nevertheless, the king's word prevailed against Joab. Wherefore Joab departed, and went throughout all Israel, and came to Jerusalem. And Joab gave the sum of the number of the people unto David, and all they of Israel were 1,000,000, and 100,000 men that drew sword. And Judah was 430,000 men, that drew sword, but Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly, because I have done this thing, but now I beseech thee, do away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto Gad, David's seer, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer thee 3 things. Choose thee one of them, that I may do it unto thee. So Gad came to David, and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, choose thee either 3 years' famine, or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes, while that the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even the pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies. But let me not fall into the hand of man. So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it is enough, stay now thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David lifted up his eyes and saw the angel of the Lord stand between the earth and the heaven, having a drawn sword in his hand stretched out over Jerusalem. Then David and the elders of Israel, who were clothed in sackcloth, fell upon their faces. And David said unto God, is it not I that commanded the people to be numbered? Even I it is that have sinned and done evil indeed. But as for these sheep, what have they done? Let thine hand, I pray thee, O Lord my God, be upon me and on my father's house, but not on thy people, that they should be plagued. Then the angel of the Lord commanded Gad to say to David, David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of Gad, which he spake in the name of the Lord. And Ornan turned back and saw the angel, and his 4 sons with him hid themselves. Now Ornan was threshing wheat. And as David came to Ornan, Ornan looked and saw David, and went out of the threshing floor, and bowed himself to David, with his face to the ground. Then David said to Ornan, "Grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the people may be stead, that the plague may be stead from the people." And Ornan said unto David, "Take it to thee, and let my lord the king do that which is good in his eyes. Lo, I give thee the oxen also for burnt offerings, and the threshing instruments for wood, and the wheat for the meat offering. I give it all." And King David said to Ornan, "Nay, but I will verily buy it for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost." So David gave to Ornan for the place 600 shekels of gold by weight. And David built there an altar unto the Lord, and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, and called upon the Lord. And he answered him from heaven by fire upon the altar of burnt offering. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. At that time, when David saw that the Lord had answered him in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite, then he sacrificed there for the tabernacle of the Lord which Moses made in the wilderness, and the altar of the burnt offering were at that season in the high place at Gibeon. But David could not go there before it to inquire of God, for he was afraid because of the sword of the angel of the Lord. Then David said, "This is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of the burnt offering for Israel." Amen. And we know the Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. The event that is before us in this chapter tonight is most solemn. It's most sobering. On this occasion, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, resulting in a plague that killed no less than 70,000 men throughout the whole nation. It is an event that calls loudly for our reverent consideration. The anger of the Lord is a very solemn truth that we must not despise or ridicule. Modern man scoffs at the thought of God's anger, and sad to say, in many religious circles, in many so-called churches, the doctrine of the anger of God, the wrath of God, is a truth rejected and denied. But any person and any church that takes the Bible without question or doubt as the revealed and inspired word of God will shun with holy fear such contempt and unbelief. There's just too many references in the Bible to the Lord's anger. We cannot ignore, we cannot despise this solemn doctrine. The Lord's judgments, the Bible says, are in the earth. And while there is a great last day of judgment appointed, yet there are seasons, there are times upon this earth when the Lord visits men and visits nations with his judgment. And that's exactly what happened on this particular occasion. The Lord was angry with Israel, we're told in 2 Samuel chapter 24. The corresponding passage in that part of the Bible, we're told that the Lord was angry with Israel. The Lord's anger had been kindled against Israel. And therefore, the Lord moved David to number Israel, to permit him to commit this trespass before the Lord. Now, Israel had been numbered before, but in this instance, the numbering of Israel was something that provoked the Lord's anger. In fact, it was one of the consequences of the Lord's anger. There had been something in the past actions of Israel, and the conjunction in 2 Samuel 24 would bear this out. It begins, "And the Lord was angry," the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel. And that conjunction indicates that the anger of God against Israel was connected with something that had gone before in Israel's history and Israel's past. And the Lord moved David. The Lord permitted David to be tempted and withdrew from him, restraining and preserving grace, so that he committed this trespass of his own volition, thereby bringing further judgment upon the Lord. The Israelites had been numbered in regard to their encampment in the wilderness. When they came out of Egypt, they were also numbered concerning their allotment in the land of Canaan. But on this occasion, David called for a military census. You'll notice that in the reading, the reference is to men who could draw a sword, who could handle the sword. And Joab, as the captain of Israel's armies, was sent to conduct this numbering, even though he himself was against it and had sought to persuade the king otherwise. But the fact that Joab is sent indicates that the purpose of this numbering was in order to take a military consensus, to find out the number of the armies of Israel. And that in itself was something that was forbidden by the Lord. It was a manifestation of pride. Israel was not to lean upon its own strength, its own ability, its own resources. Israel was not to lean upon its horses and chariots, its swordsmen, but rather Israel was to rest and rely upon the Lord alone, to look to him. And therefore this act of numbering the people was something that grieved the Lord and something that provoked his anger against the people. As soon as David had issued the command, the Lord's anger was kindled. And the Lord sends his prophet with three choices. He says to David, "You can have 7 months famine, 3 months fleeing from your enemies, or 3 days plague or pestilence in the land." And David's response was a very wise response. He committed himself solely to the hand of God. He said, "Let me fall into the hand of the Lord. I am in a great strait," verse 13. "Let me fall now into the hand of the Lord, for very great are his mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man." And so David is putting the matter, giving the matter over to the Lord. He will not make the choice, but he rather casts himself upon the mercy of God. And God in mercy, even in the midst of judgment, and that's the point that we must recognize, even in the midst of judgment, God's mercy was manifested. For the Lord did not send the most severe form of judgment, but rather the Lord allowed 3 days of pestilence, the sword of the Lord in pestilence, to fall upon the land. Verse 14, "So the Lord sent pestilence upon Israel, and there fell of Israel 70,000 men. Some people have asked the question, and indeed David asked the question, why this judgment would fall upon the nation when it had been his decision to number the people. But as the text in 2 Samuel 24 would indicate, the anger of the Lord initially was kindled by the action of Israel. And why we're not told precisely what the cause was. It is connected with the action of the Israelites, and part of the Lord's response to that was to lift the restraint upon David, so that he then yielded to this temptation to number the people of Israel. But in saying that, we must also keep in mind what is recorded in Exodus chapter 30, verse 12 through to 16. When any census divinely commanded was to be carried out, each man had to pay redemption money of half a shekel. And in this instance, the numbering of Israel, without the command of God, according to the pride of the human heart, the numbering of the Israelites was conducted without the ransom money being paid. And therefore, the entire nation fell under the judgment of God's wrath. The destroying angel is sent throughout the land. And eventually, when he comes to Jerusalem, a remarkable thing takes place. A remarkable incident occurs. Verse number 15 tells us, "And God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy it. And as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, It is enough. Now stay thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite." And it was at that place, at that point in time, at that very moment, it was at that place that the judgment of the plague, the pestilence, was stayed, and no more died as a result of the pestilence. It's very interesting that the emphasis is placed here upon the location. It was the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. And we're told in 2 Chronicles chapter 3 and verse 1, Solomon began to build the house of the Lord at Jerusalem in Mount Moriah, where the Lord appeared unto David his father in the place that David had prepared in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. It was Mount Moriah. That was the same place where Abraham was prepared to offer up Isaac as a sacrifice to the Lord. And the Lord said, "Enough. Put away your knife. Spare the lad." And Abraham looked round and he saw a ram caught in a thicket of thorns, and he took Isaac off the altar. And he placed the ram on the altar. And the ram died so that Isaac might live. In that very place, in that very place, the sword of destruction, the sword of pestilence, was stayed, and God's anger was removed. God's anger was pacified. That place would become the place where God's dear Son, many years later, would be lifted up between heaven and earth, nailed to an old cross of shame, where he would lay down his life as a ransom for many. What we read here in this passage in 1 Chronicles is a foreshadowing, 1,000 years beforehand. It is a foreshadowing of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus, the very place where the Son of God would be crucified. What we find here in the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite is a preview. It's a picture of Calvary. And it sets before us the reason why this plague was stayed, why the judgment of this pestilence was stayed. If you look carefully at the events that we have read you'll find the reason why this plague was stopped. This place where the sword was sheathed, it was the place where the ransom was paid. David offers a sacrifice to the Lord in this very place. And we're told in verse 22 that David requests of Ornan, the threshing floor, grant me the place of this threshing floor, that I may build an altar therein unto the Lord. Thou shalt grant it me for the full price, that the plague may be stayed upon the people, from the people. David recognized what would stop this plague. It would be the offering of a sacrifice. A ransom would have to be paid. Now Ornan is most obliging, and he offers to give the altar and the animals and the very place itself free of charge, free of cost. Take it to you, he says. But David refuses, and he says, nay, but I will verily buy it for me for the full price, for I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. And David pays for the ground. 600 shekels of gold for the ground, and 50 shekels of silver for the oxen. And he offers the sacrifice. And that sacrifice was a type of Christ. It was a picture, a foreshadowing, a preview of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus, the one who would take the place of sinners upon the cross of Calvary, who would become our substitute in order to pay the great debt that was owed on account of our sin. The sword has been drawn against us. We are placed under the sentence of death because of sin in the Garden of Eden. That covenant that God made with Adam was transgressed by the entire human race, and we were brought under the sentence of death. Dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return, the Lord said. And that sword is drawn against us because of our sin. But the Lord Jesus came forth from the glory of the Father's house, came into this world and took the likeness of our humanity, became man without ceasing to be God. And he went to that very place, Mount Moriah, to the hillside called Calvary, Golgotha, shaped like a skull. And there he laid down his life as a sacrifice, as a ransom for his people. He paid the ransom price, and he paid the price in full. We're not redeemed with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ. That was the coinage that was paid. The price was paid in full. And the only way that the sentence of death and the judgment of God against our sin can be removed is by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the place where the ransom was paid in full. But you'll notice it was also the place where the wrath of God was restrained. The restraining of God's wrath. Verse 27, we have these wonderful words. And the Lord commanded the angel, and he put up his sword again into the sheath thereof. This is the place where the ransom was paid. It's also the place where the sword of judgment was sheathed. When the savour of the burnt offering ascended to heaven, God commanded the angel to put away the sword. The sentence of judgment was restrained and removed. That command of God was the command of mercy. It was the command of deliverance. It was the command of pardon, the command of salvation. Can you see that angel? And for 3 days he has gone through the land, and that sword has drawn blood. That sword has exacted vengeance. But God says, enough. Put your sword into its sheath. It will not draw blood anymore. Why? Because God smelled the savour of the sacrifice. And that savour directed the mind of God to the sacrifice of his dear Son, who would offer himself in our place and die for us. It's only at Calvary that the sword of divine judgment can be stayed. There is no place of safety apart from the cross, no refuge, no hiding place, no shelter. The sword had fallen from Dan in the north to Beersheba in the south, but it was only at Moriah, only at the altar, that the sword was stayed, the judgment was restrained, and you and I can find no safety anywhere else, no refuge, no hiding place, anywhere else, not in good works, not in good living. We cannot find any shelter, any place of refuge, apart from the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is the death of Christ alone that not only pays the ransom, it is the death of Christ that restrains the wrath of God, appeases God's wrath, restrains that wrath, so that there is no wrath any longer. It's only at the cross. But notice one final thought here. This place where the ransom was paid, where the sword was sheathed and wrath was restrained, you'll notice it was also the place where the people were reconciled. The reconciliation of the people. This threshing floor is associated with two men. It's associated with King David. And David, of course, came from the line of Abraham. He was a Jew. But we're told that Ornan, the owner of this threshing floor, was a Jebusite. And that means that naturally he did not descend from the line of Abraham. He was not a Jew. He was a Gentile. And what we have here is a wonderful portrayal of the breaking down of the middle wall of partition, the great divisions that exist among the nations and the families of men. David and Ornan both stood exposed to the sword of divine vengeance. But both men found mercy. Both men experienced God's grace and God's forgiveness and God's salvation. They were both in danger, and that sword was drawn forth, about to fall upon the house of Ornan. About to fall upon the house of Ornan. He was a man on the verge of eternity, a man on the verge of judgment. And yet, God said, it is enough. And Ornan was spared. These men had different backgrounds. David was a king, lived in a palace. Ornan was threshing wheat. He was a farmer. Different nationalities, different lineage. Different backgrounds. But they both stood in danger, and both men were saved at the very same place. The message is clear. There is only one way of salvation for all men, for all nations. No matter what a man's nationality is, no matter what his background is, there's only one way of salvation. There's only one Saviour. There's only one place where we can find God's pardoning grace and where the wrath of God against our sin can be removed. They were brought to the altar that signified and symbolized the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. They both had to come to Calvary, and that's the only place where truly the nations of the world will be united. David the Jew, Ornan the Gentile, both in danger, and yet they find mercy at the very same place. How clear the gospel is. Only at Calvary can we find God's mercy and God's salvation. Our land tonight is in a state of great desperation. We look out over the world and we see the panic and the fear at the thought of this virus that has claimed so many lives. It's passing through the land tonight, passing through the nation, through the world. And it is a reminder to us of our mortality, the fact that the sword is drawn against us, that we're under the sentence of death, and the reason why is because of sin. No legislation from any parliament can prevent it. The best of healthcare systems cannot prevent death. We are subject to death because of sin. Our sin has provoked God, grieved God, angered God. That sword is drawn against us. And one day that sword will visit every man and every woman, whether it be by disease or whether it be by sudden death or an accident, whatever it may be. Whatever the form or the cause of death is, the result is the same. We're under the reign of death because of sin. But the Lord Jesus went to the cross of shame, and he received that sentence of death in our room instead. He offered himself as a sacrifice to pay for our sins against a holy God. And it is his precious blood alone that pacifies the heart of God, that pacifies the just and righteous anger of God. And it is his blood, his sacrifice, that brings mercy and pardon and peace and life forevermore. It's only one way of salvation for all nations of men. Have you come by that way? Are you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ? Are your sins covered and washed away with his precious blood? Do you stand reconciled before God, at peace with God, justified in the sight of God? This is the great offer of the gospel. This is the great promise of the gospel, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The same Lord is rich over all to those who call upon him in faith and in repentance. David repented before the Lord. David fell before the Lord in repentance, and he sought the mercy of God. Come to the cross tonight. Fall in repentance before the Lord and call upon his name. Ask for mercy. Seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he's near. And at the cross, you will find mercy with the Lord and you will find salvation for your soul. May the Lord bless his word to all who hear it, and may it bring forth fruit for his name's sake. Amen.